from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Friday, February 27th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. A bill that would require the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school and university classroom in South Carolina passed on second reading in the State House Wednesday after hours of heated debate that largely fell along party lines. WCSC reports the proposal mandates that schools post at least an 11 by 14 inch poster of the Ten Commandments. Republicans argued the commandments represent foundational American principles, and Democrats warning the bill crosses constitutional lines by introducing religion into public education. Senate leaders said they've not yet discussed the bill this session. In previous years, similar proposals have struggled to gain traction in the chamber. Similar bills that passed into law in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas have been challenged in court. Supporters of the bill say they expect a challenge in South Carolina if passed. For the first time in 9 years, public universities in North Carolina are raising their tuition rates. On Thursday, the UNC Board of Governors voted to increase the cost to attend most of the state's public institutions. Across the system, rates will increase by $125 on average for in-state undergraduates and nearly $1,000 for out-of-state undergraduates. The Charlotte 49ers introduced their new director of athletics on Thursday. Kevin White spent the previous 4 years as deputy director of athletics at Clemson University, where he helped lead several of the Tigers' strategic campaigns, facility enhancement, athletic success, and operational efficiency. He assisted in running the day-to-day operations of the department as the second in command. He said he has high hopes as he joins the 49ers in the American Conference.
Charlotte Athletics has extraordinary opportunity in front of it. The university is growing, the city is thriving, and I want everybody to hear this clearly. Charlotte's stock is rising. But in order to truly strike gold, it's going to take all of us.
White noted the 189,000 alumni the university has around the country and world, with 60% of those in the Charlotte area, as a base to build from. He becomes the 8th director of athletics at Charlotte. The Union County Governor Center and Courthouse were evacuated Thursday morning as authorities investigated a reported threat. The Union County Sheriff's Office swept the buildings with other law enforcement. It's not clear what the nature of the threat was. The buildings reopened a short time later. The USA Curling National Championships, taking place at Bojangles Coliseum, have been delayed due to another leak in the roof of the Coliseum. Kenneth Lee has more.
Rain in the Charlotte area is once again causing problems at Bojangles Coliseum for the second week in a row. Leaks in the roof have disrupted events there. The Coliseum, which opened back in 1955, is owned by the city and operated by the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. A roofing contractor has found where the water is coming in. CRVA spokesperson Gina Sheridan says the roof was already scheduled for sealing work, and the section that leaked just hadn't been resealed yet. Crews are now working to fix it. USA Curling officials say once tarps are removed from the ice, competition was expected to resume Thursday afternoon, with Friday's event starting early at 8 a.m. A Charlotte Checkers game was postponed last week because of the same issue. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A meeting of global finance leaders in Asheville later this year is expected to bring big economic benefits to Western North Carolina as it continues to recover from Hurricane Helene. Blue Ridge Public Radio's Felicia Sanmez has details.
The U.S. Treasury Department announced the G20 finance track meetings last week. They're scheduled for this fall and will include finance leaders from 19 countries and 2 international organizations. Vic Isley, president and CEO of the Buncombe County Tourism Development Authority, says the meetings are good news for the region amid the ongoing recovery from Hurricane Helene. About 500 people from around the globe are expected to attend. The event will likely bring $1.5 to $2 million in direct spending for local businesses, Isley says. Every year, the G20 is led by a different host. This year, it's the United States.
And so the United States government is supporting our area's economic rebound by selecting Asheville as a location for this finance track conference in August and September.
The biggest event of the G20, a summit of global leaders, will take place in December at the Trump National Doral Golf Resort in Miami. In Asheville, I'm Felicia Sanmez.
In South Carolina, hundreds reported feeling a small earthquake in Lexington County on Thursday afternoon. The U.S. Geological Survey registered the quake at a magnitude 3.0, centered near Lake Murray, and felt as far away as Columbia. Republican voters will decide during next Tuesday's primary who they want to replace outgoing Senator Tom Tillis. As Adam Wagner reports, several Republicans are running, but only one has President Trump's endorsement.
Michael Whatley helped Donald Trump win North Carolina 3 times. Now, Trump is the one trying to help Whatley. Trump's endorsement could give the former North Carolina GOP chairman the advantage over several other Republicans seeking the nomination for Senate. Those include Don Brown, a retired JAG officer and attorney who has taken on a host of right-wing causes, as well as Michelle Morrow, a former candidate for state superintendent who once called public schools, quote, indoctrination centers. Morrow and Brown are trying to convince voters that they, not Whatley, are the most likely candidates to support Trump. The winner of next Tuesday's primary will likely face former Governor Roy Cooper in the general election. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capitol Bureau.
A 32-foot RV is expected to arrive in Charlotte next week to support the LGBTQ+ and underserved communities as part of a national tour. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The Caravan of Hope plans to visit 17 cities in 31 days. Angela Giampolo is behind the initiative that will provide a range of free services.
Things like name changes, gender marker changes, if the state laws permit. A lot of the states that we're going to, it's not legal to change their gender marker anymore. It was previously when I went in the past.
Giampolo started the initiative in response to Trump's first election when members of the LGBTQ+ community reached out with concerns about their rights. As for why she's coming to Charlotte, she says,
folks are used to traveling there for queer resources. Long-standing, a pioneering city for LGBT, trying to make their city safe for LGBTQ folks.
The caravan will be at Time Out Youth, located at 3800 Monroe Road, next Wednesday from 10 to 4 p.m. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Johnson C. Smith's men's basketball team got a huge upset win last night at the CIAA tournament in Baltimore. The Golden Bulls downed nationally ranked Virginia Union 64-63 to advance to the semifinals. JCSU takes on Fayetteville State tonight at 8 for a spot in the finals. Early voting for next week's Tuesday primary ends Saturday at 3 p.m. For more on the trends emerging thus far and what they may mean for November, Steve Harrison spoke with our Marshall Terry.
Steve, what's the headline so far?
Marshall, I think the big news is that Democrats are coming out to vote and that more unaffiliated voters are asking for the Democratic ballot. In early voting data through Wednesday, 58.5% of all ballots requested were Democratic. Now, let's compare that to early voting in the 2022 primary. That was when Democrat Joe Biden was in the White House and Republicans were fired up. In that primary, voters asked for Democratic ballots just over half of the time. And we can also look at this in raw numbers. At this point in 2022 early voting, just under 149 registered Democrats had voted early. Now, 201,000 registered Democrats have shown up to vote.
So a big shift to Democrats so far. Does that reflect more big Democratic races on the ballot, or are voters just showing up in opposition to President Trump?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. U.S. Senate candidate Roy Cooper will easily win the Democratic primary. And there's been no real advertising on his part to get people out to vote. In fact, the Republican primary for Senate has been covered much more in the media. Even though Trump's pick, Michael Whatley, is expected to win, there is a really competitive Democratic primary in the Triangle for the 4th congressional district between incumbent Valerie Fouché and Bernie Sanders-backed Nita Alam. And there are some contested races in places like Mecklenburg County, where the sheriff's office has drawn interest. But local races just don't draw big numbers of voters out like a national race. Overall, I think this may be about Democrats just wanting to be heard, wanting to express displeasure with President Trump, even if he isn't on the ballot.
We've been talking about the Democratic side. What do the Republican numbers look like?
They are a bit lackluster. 28% of voters who have cast ballots are registered Republicans. 4 years ago, they were about 33% of all early voters. So on one hand, you have Democratic enthusiasm, and on the other, this can be a case of Republicans just not being energized about this election. And Marshall, all of this data is available from the John Locke Foundation's Vote Tracker, which is online.
Okay, you compare 2026 early voting to 2022. What about 4 years before that?
That was 2018, the midterm election in Trump's first term. Democrats gained about 40 House seats nationwide. And the early vote then, during that big blue wave election, looks a lot like the early vote now. 59% of the ballots chosen in North Carolina in 2018 were Democratic. So perhaps that's a sign that this midterm will be big for Democrats in the fall.
We've been talking about statewide races. Let's zoom in closer. What about the hotly contested Republican primary in Senate District 26 between Senate leader Phil Berger and challenger Sam Page, the sheriff of Rockingham County?
Yeah, Berger is the most powerful Republican in North Carolina, but Page, the longtime sheriff, is challenging him on local issues. One is opposition to Berger's now aborted plans to bring a casino to Rockingham. Page's base, of course, is Rockingham County. And so far, 57% of early voters are from there. And if you go back 4 years, only 40% of the early vote in District 26 was from Rockingham. And so all of that suggests a very close race. Phil Berger wants more of the voters to be from neighboring Guilford County, home to Greensboro, where people just don't know the sheriff nearly as well.
So that may be the most fascinating race on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so. And close to home, we have that competitive race for Mecklenburg Sheriff. We have two contested State House Democratic primaries, and we have races for Mecklenburg County Commission. But I think Berger Page is the real headline.
And again, early voting ends Saturday at 3 p.m. Election Day is next Tuesday. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Marshall.
That's WFAE's Steve Harrison.
And for Friday, February 27th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal.